This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like you who want a great shave experience at a fraction of what you're paying, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code WHATTHETECH when you check out. And by IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. Visit itpro.tv/what-the-tech and use the code WTT30 for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. What the tech? Hey, everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I am joined by returning Paul Thorod. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
This the insane asylum that you've been staying in?
Yeah, right.
Those walls
it does have that kind of sanitary...
It does look beautiful, though. That's kinda, a really nice paint job.
Yeah, I guess. It's not what I was looking for, but, you know, fine.
So I don't know if people know this, but you're moving.
Yeah, I mean, assuming we sell our house, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Have you spoken about it at all or no?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. It's something that happened very quickly and very suddenly quickly. And unexpectedly.
Okay. Yeah, so but obviously we'll talk more about it as it continues, but I'm very happy that you're back. We have not done a show in a couple of weeks. We've had substitutions. We've had Michael Manna. Stevie Richards did it 1 week. Brad did it another week. And last week I did not do it because I had a little bit of a emergency. But everything is okay. Everything is fine. I have so much to talk about. I don't think you and I discussed the Surface laptop. We didn't spend a lot of time on this. We have not discussed the Surface Pro, the announcement from China the other day. And a whole... long laundry list of things that have happened over the last couple of weeks, and I'm really excited to talk to you about this. And also my tech issues. I've had a terrible couple of weeks with technology. We'll talk about that and a lot more. But before we do, let's take a moment and talk about our great sponsor, and that's itpro.tv. itpro.tv is an amazing, amazing source for education in technology, in ethical hacking, in Windows servers, Photoshop, and intro to JavaScript. The list goes on and on. Classes are really expensive. I have a bunch of friends that are in IT. And you constantly have to keep up with the latest. You have to get recertified. You have to keep up with what's happening. And it gets very difficult and very expensive. And it doesn't have to be the case. With IT Pro TV, very easy. You go there, you sign up. You can try it out for free, by the way, which we'll talk about in a second. And they have online training courses, IT courses, and not only IT. They have Photoshop. They have a whole long list of products. I am relearning Photoshop, for example. I have not done any Photoshop stuff for years. I know, Paul, you still do Photoshop, but there's always something new to learn, especially with the new Adobe Cloud that they're constantly adding new features. You know, you're not stuck with an old version anymore. So I'm relearning Photoshop. I'm relearning Illustrator. And IT Pro TV is a great source to do that. Now, if you're not into that stuff and you're into, let's say, remote desktop services, you could do that as well. They have a long list of content. Over 2,000 hours of content and more than 30 hours are added each and every week. You could access this on Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, the PC. And they're great guys, too. I absolutely I love the delivery and I love how they do this. And it's DRM free, by the way, so you could view it offline, too. Here's a great deal. If you go to itpro.tv/what-the-tech, we have a link in our chat room, and of course we have a link in our show notes. And you use the code WTT30, you get a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. You could also sign up for free and watch the content live as it's made, and it's unbelievable. It's absolutely beautiful production values that they do. You're not getting a webinar. You're getting very high content. ITPro.tv. I want to thank them for supporting the show. So, Paul, where do you want to begin this week? Let's talk about the latest. Let's talk about the Surface Pro. Okay. Not the Surface Pro 5, right?
Yep.
So here was my question to you. Why China? Why did they announce it in China?
I think there are a couple of reasons. You know, one is that with the 2017 Surface devices, Microsoft is launching them simultaneously worldwide, whereas in the past, those devices would launch first in the U.S., maybe Canada, and they would kind of spread slowly over the year to different markets. That's a big deal. You know, China's the first or second biggest economy in the world, first or second biggest group of consumers in the world, however you want to look at it. So big market. You know, it's a pen-based device too. And when you think about the way that the Chinese languages work, you know, they're character-based. It makes sense to focus, or not to focus, but to, you know, these kinds of devices make a lot of sense for that kind of market because, you know, typing is just not as easy there. And Microsoft is just doing kind of a general expansion into China. They've launched HoloLens there. They're going to launch the Xbox Scorpio there this coming year. And I think they're just trying to step it up again. You know, just when you look at the world and where you want to grow or how you could grow, you know, entering China is one of those markets. And Microsoft has relationships in China, obviously. But I think this is just representative of the fact that it's a, you know, kind of a first class market now.
Yeah.
So they just want to be part of that.
What do we know about the Surface 5? What can we talk about?
Well, we know. I mean, we know pretty much everything pretty about much everything. It. So yeah. You know, it's a refresh to the current device. Depending on how you want to look at it, it either is not that much different at all, or it's, you know, different in subtle but important ways. You know, from a mile away, it probably looks exactly the same as the Surface Pro 4. Same compatibility with type covers and peripherals. Same Surface connector slot. They haven't gone USB-C Thunderbolt 3. I think that's the one major mistake they've made here, but. Beyond that, I mean, there's actually some neat stuff going on with it. You know, you can tilt the screen all the way back to 169 degrees.
Which you couldn't do previously.
Which is something they started with the Surface Studio. And that allows you to write on it with the keyboard attached, you know, as if it were kind of a tablet, which is kind of neat. It's the first non-studio device to support the Surface Dial on the screen. Yeah, press it down on the screen. Context-sensitive options come up right where the dial is. That's kind of neat. They're going to add that to some other Surface devices in the future as well. It has a new Surface Pen that actually isn't sold with it. You have to buy it separately. But the new Surface Pen has four times the levels of pressure sensitivity. It's much faster from kind of a latency perspective.
So that was my question to you. The faster inking experience, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the display or is that the pen? Or both?
Well, actually, the pen itself is faster by itself, but actually when you use it in tandem with a new Surface Pro, it's faster still because that device has a new custom processor in it that hardware accelerates Windows Ink. And so the fastest possible inking experience you can get on any Surface or in any PC, or actually on any pen-enabled device, according to Microsoft, is that combination. The new Surface Pro and the new Surface Pen. You can use the new Surface Pro with an old Surface Pen. You can use the old Surface Pro with a new Surface Pen, right? They all work, but you only can take advantage of that one new feature if you have both of those things.
Yeah. It's just a refresh, essentially, right? That's what we're talking about. You can still buy a Surface Pro 4, and it's on sale. Right, they dropped the prices on this.
Yeah, the prices are.
Are you happy with this device by looking at it? I mean, here's the thing: the Surface laptop is, in my opinion, the one that I want. Right, like that. I'm not. That would be for me.
Thank you for echoing their exact tagline for that device: the one that I want.
Is that what it is?
It literally is the way they marketed. I had no idea.
That's great. That says a lot about the product line. No, that's the one that I want.
Yeah. Well, no, it's very interesting you say that because for 5 years into this with Surface and what they finally come around to after all of the, you know, it's the tablet that can replace your laptop silliness is they're marketing this thing as a laptop. Now, it's not a laptop, right? It's a tablet PC.
It's a tablet with a decent type cover.
Seriously, the type cover on this thing is really nice. Yeah. And that's true of Surface Pro 4. These things have been nice for quite a while. But what they found is that most people use it as a laptop, right? They buy it and use it like a laptop. And so that what they've decided is that for all their portable Surface devices, they're just going to market these things as laptops. And so they're laptops that serve different parts of the market. So Surface Book is the super high-end ultimate laptop with a dedicated GPU if you want it. The Surface laptop is, you know, the most personal laptop because it has those color choices. And then the Pro is the most versatile laptop in Microsoft's marketing because this is the one where you can use it as a tablet if you want to.
Yeah.
You unplug the keyboard and so forth.
I did not ask you this. We did not talk about this previously. And I did with Brad. And I cannot remember. Did we do a show after I did it with Brad? I don't think so. It's all a blur at this point. But what I presented, right? The Surface laptop is a beautiful laptop. The design is good. The specs are good. Everything is good. The pricing is fine for what it is. Why force Windows 10S on this? And I get it, right? I get it. By the way, you could upgrade for free, right? If you want it, if you buy this thing, you could upgrade for free till December. Will most people that buy this thing know that they're not getting Windows? They're getting this other thing like Windows? And
well, so that's the key, right? So in other words, whenever you hear about something like Windows 10S, and we did this before with the Windows RT, educating the customer about what they're buying is the key. It's the linchpin to this thing because there's nothing worse than a customer spending over $1,000 on some device, getting it home, trying to download Chrome or iTunes or whatever they want to use, or somewhere down the road, you know, 3 months down the road, they hear about some cool little utility. Yeah, I want to run that on my laptop. Yeah, sorry, you don't actually have Windows. You have this other thing.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem, right? So Microsoft's solution to it long term is that you can always upgrade to Windows 10 Pro if you want. It's not that expensive to do it when it will be paid. Right now it's free, right, through the end of the year. And I think that will solve the problem for a lot of people.
I think the problem should have been solved when you actually purchase this thing. It gives you an option. It says, do you want Windows 10S or Windows 10 Pro?
Yeah.
$40, and then you could write like $40 or whatever they're going to charge.
So by the end of the year, that will be an option.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And they're going to do the same thing on Pro.
I did notice this, and I maybe did not previously, but under software, they do say prefer to run non-store apps? Easily switch to Windows 10 Pro for free until December 31st. Yep. I did not see that on the website when they initially launched this.
I don't remember, but it is very easy. You know, people have taken exception to the wording on that and said, oh, you know, how easy could it be? And it's like, actually, if you've ever done like the Windows Home to Pro upgrade, it's
very easy.
It's a quick reboot and you're in, and it's not a lot going on. It happens very fast.
So very interesting product. I mean, the product line is refreshed, obviously. Do we know how well this thing is going as far as pre-orders go for the Surface laptop?
No, but my expectation is that this will be the best-selling Surface device by far. This will be the new bestseller.
It has to be. I mean,
The thing. I mean, I give them credit. They've really tried, and they've tried these new form factors. They've tried Pen. You know, they've tried these different, kind of a different approach. And everyone's kind of copying Surface Pro, but the reality is the mainstream part of the market, they want a laptop. You know, I use a Surface Book, and I love it, but the thing I hate the most about it is that the screen comes off. And it's not because it comes off. It doesn't bother, you know, it wouldn't bother me normally. But that hinge, that connection, is a source of great unreliability.
Yeah.
And I just want it to stay there. You know, I don't want there to be gizmos and gears and weird little elastic things or whatever they use in there. I just want it to be a screen. I open it up and it comes on, you know. And that's the thing that Surface laptop does.
Yeah. I'm sure you've pre-ordered, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Which model did you get? The i7?
No, those are way too expensive.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
There's some goofy things going on with Surface laptop because they advertise those colors, which are really cool, and the Alcantara Surface that's on the keyboard deck, which is really cool. But you only get those on the i5 version, right? If you order the low-end version, the entry-level $999 version, that's just I don't remember the color, but let's say platinum.
The platinum, yeah.
Magnesium probably, or aluminum, whatever the material is. If you order the high-end version, which is the i7 versions, also you just get platinum. You don't get colors. And so I think the one that, if I remember correctly, it was $1,299. So it's probably the second one up. It's 8 gigs of RAM. I ordered the crimson color, which I think is the, you know, for me is just the most attractive one.
Yeah. I mean, this is great. Talking about unreliability.
I apologize about the past couple of weeks. I don't know why you have to keep bringing this up.
No. We were talking about my Mac, but since you brought that up, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Do you, with the Surface 5 now, well, the next Surface Pro, what do you see as the future of this device? Because they have, the hybrid, right? Now they have everything. They got the laptop, they got that weird hybrid, and they have the tablet.
Yeah.
Do we need all three of these?
I, by the way, I wonder the same thing. And you know, there's a part of me that kind of thinks like, well, you know, could you do a DGPU version of the Surface laptop and just forget about Surface Book? The only thing that makes me say no to that is I do think there's a place for the versatility of a removable screen, even though I don't want it personally, right?
So for the Surface Book, or are you talking about the Surface Pro?
Well, there I'm talking about the Surface Book, but both of them, right? I think that, you know, because both of them can operate like a tablet of sorts, there's an interesting thing going on there. And I think the way that they've divided up the product line right now makes some sense. I think the two things that can obviously happen in the future are a screen that is the screen from the Surface Studio, right? Mm-hmm. Which would be a wonderful thing to use in tandem with another Surface device because it has the same aspect ratio. It will have the same pixel density for the most part, unless you get a laptop. There's a nicety in Windows 10 if you could have that. It's just something that they're really missing. And I think they will do that, if not this year, then soon. But the other thing, by the way, is that USB-C Thunderbolt 3 thing. I've been kind of beating this to death because I don't quite understand their stance on this. I don't feel like Microsoft's been honest about it, and I understand why they're presenting it the way they're presenting it. But at some point, like this fall, they need to switch over all of their machines to this new architecture. And I think that the benefit of this, aside from the obvious, because USB-C with Thunderbolt 3 is amazing and gives you that one cable expandability with actual bandwidth, you know, drive two 4K displays at 60 hertz, et cetera, is going to be to enable a thinner and lighter new generation of Surface devices.
And that'll be the next one, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at Surface Pro, the new one, right, it's basically exactly the same width, thickness, and weight as the Surface Pro 4, which is fine. This is not a heavy device. Like, Microsoft has a neat tagline where they're like, the bag you'll carry this in is heavier than the device itself, you know, which is, yeah, absolutely. Sure. It's a really portable device. But Surface Laptop, and Surface Book in particular, but also Surface Tablet, Surface Pro, would all benefit from the slimming that could occur by the fact that you now have USB. You only need the thickness for the USB port. Like the thinness of Surface Pro and of all these devices is constrained by the height of that port.
Yeah.
Right? And if you think about like an iPad or an iPad Pro, and if you were to hold those things up and look at the thickness of them compared to a Surface Pro, the Surface Pro is actually significantly thicker, right? So yeah, it's thin and light. Thicker, it's not horrible, but it's significantly thicker than an iPad.
So I'm going to ask you a question. You know, if we're talking premium end devices, you know, cutting edge stuff, we're going to talk about the HP line, right? Like the Spectre and what they're doing. Yeah, yeah. Have they gone over to USB Type-C?
Yeah, so HP has done something really smart across the board, right? Now, there are some...
Which, by the way, I may find out very soon because I had a very nice conversation with HP the other day, and okay. I have this idea that I'm going to start doing long term testing on higher end products. A lot of times, okay. I run these on, you know, on phones, or I run it on a lower end laptop. And I had a very nice conversation with HP, and they're going to possibly, I think it's happening. They're going to send over a couple laptops here, and okay. I'm going to do, you know, real world testing of you know, how it is, pretty much what you do, you know, not jump the gun and say this is the best device ever. Take your time and you review it, and you and I could have a fair discussion, because sometimes I don't know, you know, some of these products.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way HP does it is the model that the industry needs to follow. And actually, it is the model most PC makers are following, but they
amazing
do it right.
We're saying that. What a turnaround.
Yeah. So for the most part, their devices offer both at least one or two legacy ports and then one or more up to three or four USB-C / Thunderbolt 3 ports. It's obviously a little different from machine to machine. But if you look at their Surface Pro-like device, it's USB-C, and it has been for a while, by the way.
Yeah.
What they've done – now, Microsoft talks about backwards compatibility and blah, 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 you know, whatever. But, you know – HP and Dell and other companies that have decades of experience serving the enterprise understand that kind of stuff as well. And so if you look at a device like their EliteBook X360, which just came out, this is a it's a kind of a laptop form factor, but it's the convertible thing where the screen flips around all the way, so you can kind of use it.
The EliteBook is the work laptop, right?
That's right, the business laptop.
The business laptop, okay.
So what this device has is certain features that are designed specifically for business based around things like security and manageability. It has a smart card slot, for example, that you would never see on a like a consumer device. But what it does have on the side is the old barrel style power port like that HP's been using for, you know, 12, 15 years, yeah, or whatever. The reason they add that is because their enterprise customers have bought these things in bulk and they have a bunch of these power supplies.
Yeah.
And they have docking solutions that are based off of whatever, you know, solution that HP had. And so they provide that backwards compatibility, but the device also has a USB-C/Thunderbolt 3 port. And if you plug in a USB charger, guess what? That works fine. It will charge the device even faster. So that's the bridge. And that's the thing that Microsoft, you know, is kind of screwing up with the new Surface devices.
Well, and then you have what Apple's doing. So, which is a whole different, the total opposite.
It's the,
Which we'll talk about Apple. I do want to talk about them. But before we do, let's take a moment and talk about our sponsor. Guys, Father's Day is quickly approaching, and what better way to tell your father you love them and you appreciate them by giving them something that they actually want? Forget about these tchotchkes. Forget about the cheapo gifts. You don't have to spend a lot of money to get something great. You go to harrys.com/whattotech. They have a great offer for Father's Day. They have a Father's Day special that you're going to love and your dad is going to love too. You get $5 off one of their shaving sets that includes a limited edition Father's Day set, which I have right here. Don't tell my dad because he's going to get one of these for Father's Day. I'm going to open it up right here, and you're going to see what's inside. So you got – here, take a look at this. Paul, you use a Harry's razor. Here you go. It is beautiful, beautiful quality razor. You got the shaving gel, the foaming shaving gel. You got the cartridge. You got the stand. And you got, I don't know what this one is. Oh, more. You got more of these. This is the travel holder, and this is more blades here. I have to tell you, there is nothing better than shaving with a Harry's razor. This is all I use now. I no longer go and buy razors. I can't tell you the last time I went to a store to buy a razor at this point. All I have done is use my Harry's razors, and it lasts forever because high-quality blades go a long way. It is such a big difference when you're using this razor. And you know what? Your dad is going to love this. It looks great. Wrap it up. Give it to him. Or just give it in the box. Look how nice this thing is. Harrys.com/whattotech. They have the limited edition Father's Day set. I absolutely love it. And I've given tons of these to relatives over the last couple of years. And every time I give it, they love it. So, says a lot. This is my gift to give to people. And it could be yours. Harrys.com/whattotech. I want to thank them for supporting the show. Let's see. Where do we begin? Paul.
Yes, sir.
You used my MacBook Pro, right? The new one.
I touched it.
You touched it. And what did you think of it?
I liked it. I mean, I've always liked the design of those products. The thing that surprised me about it was how good the keyboard was. Because the keyboard of the original MacBook, the little guy, the 12-inch thing, was garbage the first gen when they did it. And it didn't seem to me when I announced the Pro that it was any better, but actually in using it, it is significantly better. So,
yeah, I take back all the nice things I said about them.
you've had a few problems, have you?
Oh boy, have I had problems. So when I first got it, I don't know if you remember this, it died within 3 days.
I think it's fair to say that most of us suspect user error here.
Yeah, fine. You know what? I thought so too. Maybe I connected it to an outlet that was something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was something. Who knows? So totally died within 3 days. I brought it back. They said, oh, that's weird. Here you go. Here's a new one. But I had noticed that the 3 days that I was using it, the thing would get freaking hot. I mean, just, you know that top, like on top, you know where the touch bar is? Right on top, there's like a little bit of room between the hinge. If you put your hand on there, it would burn your hand.
Like heat coming out of it.
Yeah, like it would really hurt. And that can't be normal. I don't care what anybody says. There's
That's
no
amazing.
Point. There's no point that I should ever touch a computer and say, wow, that hurt. Ever. I don't care. I've seen people defend this and say, no, 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 it just gets a little bit hot. It's not that bad. It should never get a little bit hot. I'm touching the one that I have right now. It's not warm at all. So,
yeah, right.
You're in front of a laptop, right? Do you have a laptop in front of you?
Yeah, it's not open though, okay. So it's not really.
Okay, so I would love to know, is there any point that you touch it and you go, oh crap, I just burnt my hand? No, it shouldn't.
No, I mean, even on like a gaming PC heat is blowing out the back of the thing, yeah, and the fan sounds like a jet turbine, it doesn't hurt you. It's just warm, you know?
So I brought it back. They gave me a new replacement, and I had it, the replacement, since March 30th. That was the day that I got it. Within 2 weeks, I started getting kernel panics. Well, within 3 weeks, it was just kernel panic constantly. And every time the kernel panic was CPU, firmware, it was like a firmware communication, CPU 1 failure. Yeah. And then if you look back, it says, you know, GPU, and then it would show you the temp file, and it would say GPU. And I was like, okay, that's a video card issue. So either the built-in video card is crashing or the AMD video card is crashing, but the video card is constantly crashing. Maybe it's a software issue. Maybe I installed something, wiped it out, clean install, did it again. Clean install, did it again. So I let it be, and I wanted to determine when this happens. It would happen when the computer would go to sleep. Every time the computer would go to sleep, it would crash. And I go, I figured it out. Because it has two video cards, it's switching.
Right.
So when it switches, something happens and it causes a kernel panic.
Do they have a version of the MacBook Pro, like the 15-inch, that doesn't have the dual video?
No, they all have the dual video.
That's all you get. Yeah, okay. Can you disable one of them or something?
Yeah, you can. There's actually a way to do it. But it's far beyond. The problem is far beyond that.
Okay.
So there is a way. There's like third-party applications that you could get. And I tried it and it still failed. So what I would do is I would take the sleep time and just drag it all the way to never. So the thing would always be awake and it wouldn't crash. Well, that worked for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And people have complained about this. I mean, they've complained and complained. Now I'm using the laptop and I'm watching a YouTube video and the screen gets like every freaking color you could imagine and it just freezes and then it just shuts down. So that started happening. Okay. So let me wipe it out one more time. I wiped it out. I wiped it out. And you know what happened? Endless kernel panics, one after another. I mean, just endless. It would not stop. And this thing, and you know, there's no video playing, nothing. If I put my hand on there, it would burn my finger in within 3 seconds. So I went to the Apple store. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a great experience that is.
While you were there, did you pick up a product red iPhone?
I did not.
While you were waiting.
I did really observe why people go to the store. So I went to the one on Fifth Avenue, which is the flagship, you know?
Yep.
This thing is open 24/7, by the way. It's a 24/7 Apple store because...
I mean, people need to get their iPhone screens replaced.
God forbid you have to wait till 8 o'clock in the morning to get your iPhone screen fixed. Yep. By the way, I don't even know if they do repairs on iPhone screens there, do they? I have no idea. I have no idea.
They do.
Okay. Yeah. So every single person I came in, it was fascinating. It was, I ran out of storage on my iPhone. This was everybody. It says that I have no more storage, or I can't, or iCloud is telling me that I have, you know, I'm out of storage because everybody has a standard 5 gigs. You know what I mean? That it was 90% that. It was just people bringing their phones and making appointments to talk to them about running out of space. The other part was people with broken screens. I have to tell you, it was all people with broken iPhone 5Ss. That's all I saw. I mean, it was just crazy.
That's been my experience at the store.
Yeah, broken iPhone screens constantly. So finally, I sit there and I talk to them. And I thought they would just hand me another MacBook. Like they did last time. Because obviously this is a problem. It's not something I did. No, they won't hand me a new MacBook. They have to go and replace the logic board on a month and a half old laptop. And I said, and I'm talking to the guy. I'm like, listen, this thing is a month and a half old. This is my second unit. I experienced the same type of problem. At one point do you say, we may have a problem here?
Yeah.
And his response was, to be honest, we don't sell enough of these to get a lot back.
Yikes.
And I said, oh, that's interesting. I go, what do you sell? He goes, most people that come in and buy MacBooks are buying the MacBook, or they're buying a MacBook Air, or they're buying the 13-inch without the touch bar.
Yeah. So that was one of that's one of the big rumors right now, right? That they're actually going to update the MacBook Air next month because it's been selling better than expected. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised to discover that those sales went up after they introduced this machine.
I did not see one person come in there with a new MacBook with the touch bar. And, right. You know, this has come from one of the guys that works there. They don't sell a lot of them. They were surprised to even see this come back twice. So
I mean, they are very expensive.
They are, yeah. And I did not buy it, by the way. My job bought it for me because I have a job now, Paul. I don't know if you know this.
I do.
You do? Okay. My job bought it for me. So I spent 4 hours in the Apple store trying to explain to them what is going on with this thing. And they tried everything. They tried to update the OS and they tried to do a firmware update, and you can't even update the firmware. I think he's just making stuff up at this point. Long story short, they had to do a complete logic board change on a 1 month laptop. And my question is, what do I do when this happens again? Because this is my third laptop, essentially, right? When you change a logic board, you change everything. Third laptop.
Well, actually, after the third one, you're probably going to qualify for the Lemon Law, whatever that is in New York. I'm sure it's pretty strict. Sure. I mean, I think they would just give you your money back, you know,
and take my laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm in.
I can buy it on the refurbished store.
Yes. And then I can buy it off the refurb. So now I have to go pick it up tomorrow. But I have to tell you, they have a problem. There's a big problem with this thing. There's a big problem.
I'm surprised by this. I mean, you know, for all the complaining about the Apple stuff.
Yeah. Very poorly made.
They're usually not, right? I mean,
This is not a
typical Apple story.
No, but here's another thing. You want to talk about poor craftsmanship. So you know how it has – let's forget about me having this GPU problem, right? Let's say it's just my shit luck. You know what I did notice on all of them? Because we have like three of them in the office now. Mm-hmm. That the USB Type-C port, the Thunderbolt 3 port, which is your power and everything – that thing loosens up as you use it.
Jeez.
So, and I was like, maybe it's just me. So I went to the other one. I grabbed another one in the office and I kept plugging it in. And lo and behold, it gets loose.
Mm.
Like
I've not experienced this on the PCs I have, but.
You haven't or you have?
No.
Like the MagSafe one is on. I mean, it's magnetic. So that thing is on. You're not budging unless you yank it. This thing.
If I
gently pull it, it's loose. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen with lightning. It doesn't happen on phones. I mean,
I'm very curious about this, and I brought it up to them. Hmm. And of course, they said they've never heard anything about this because they don't really sell too many, and they don't get them back. You know, so I.
Sure. The people who buy these things tend to be chumps.
Yeah. So I have been using an iPad Pro as my computer. And boy, is that miserable. It is not a computer. I don't care what anybody says at this point. You cannot use this every day as your computer. If you do, I am astonished how much time you're wasting.
Right.
I was trying to do the most simplest of things, and it takes forever. Positive thing, that the keyboard that comes with this thing, you know, like the keyboard attachment that they give you?
Yeah, the fabric weird keyboard cover thing.
It's actually very good.
Yeah, I think you might have told me that before. I don't know what to say to that. I haven't used it a lot. I've only used it in like a store.
Yeah.
You know? I have a sort of an aversion to keyboards that don't have a wrist rest attached to them. But I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, so this is unbelievable. I'm really surprised by this, and I don't know, and I've read about all these problems. I mean, people are complaining about these kernel panics.
Right.
And here's the other thing. So this laptop, this 15-inch, is not even my daily back-and-forth computer because it's too big. I think the 15-inch is way too big for me to move around. So I've been using my personal 13-inch laptop. So all this thing has done for weeks is sit at home.
Right.
Just powered off, just sitting at home. I've probably used it, I want to say, 10 times. I think they have a problem.
Oh, you have a problem.
I definitely have a problem now.
That's for sure. I, I don't really exist in this world, so I don't really hear about how this thing is selling or how it is, you know. I mean, yeah. All I can do is I picked it up and I used it when you had, you know, you brought it. And,
beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful.
It's a beautiful machine. It's thin and it's light, and the keyboard is great. That's what I'll say about it. But I don't have any
except for the
real world experience.
The other thing that I noticed, and people are complaining, the T key on the keyboard, for whatever reason, the T key loosens up. No other key, just the T key, and it makes a weird click.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, something
you gotta
wrong.
You gotta get a different computer. Dude.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm at the very end with this thing. I can't imagine using this thing as a reliable machine at this point. So I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I mean, just tell me. I'll give this back to you guys. Give me a Surface laptop. Give me a Surface. That's what I want.
Sure.
And I'll complain about Windows S, you know, being on there.
Just upgrade it.
What have you been up to, Paul? Anything new? Anything coming up?
Geez. What do you mean?
Those are like, my rants. Is there anything that I missed this week on this?
This week? God, yeah. Dude, I cannot. I'm so confused. Because of all the travel I just did, and because we're stripping our house down to sell it, and I don't know what the heck is going on anymore. Like this week, I don't.
Here's my question. I don't think we spoke about this. Mm-hmm. A month ago, you did a first impression of the X1 Carbon.
Yes,
and I don't think we spoke. I know we brought it up, but I really wanted to know more information about your usage with this thing and what you think of it. Because this is, again, I love the ThinkPads.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I have a list of devices I need to review, and that should have all happened by now, but through a combination of things, it hasn't. Part of it is the move, but part of it is that with Brad and I traveling, and he was doing work on a Surface Book, and I brought mine as a backup because we needed it for the video work, and his thing was having reliability issues. So I ended up not traveling with these devices. And yada, yada, yada. Anyway, but as far as the new ThinkPad goes, ThinkPad X1s have always been great. Last year, I had kind of a toss-up between the X360, the HP device, and the Yoga X1. I'm sorry, the ThinkPad X1 Yoga, which is the convertible version of the X1, as kind of the best PC of the year. So they've done something interesting on the Lenovo side. They're kind of pushing the non-Yoga X1 as like a laptop. It doesn't have touch. It doesn't, you know, do, it lays flat actually, but it doesn't, obviously the screen doesn't spin around. It's all USB-C / Thunderbolt 3 based now, yeah. Right? So all the expansion is off of that standard port. Whereas in the past, Lenovo had, I think it was called OneLink, or they had their own kind of proprietary port for docking stations and so forth. Really smart, but it's a beautiful device, super thin and light. The version I have is, I think it's just a 1080p screen, frankly. It's non-touch, which is a little goofy these days, to be honest. I'm so used to touch screens. There's also something people who use portable machines know. There's like a function key down in the home row, and Lenovo reverses it. So I'm looking at like a Surface, but HP does the same thing. The bottom leftmost key on the keyboard is the control key, and then there's a function key, then the Windows key, and then the Alt key. On the ThinkPads, they reverse the function and the control. And when you switch between computers a lot, like I do, man, does it take a long time to get used to that. Obviously, if this was your only computer, you would just get used to it. It's no big deal. But that's one of those things I've had a little bit of trouble with. But it's a beautiful machine. And, you know, I was talking about the Microsoft tagline about the Surface, where, you know, it's the bag you're carrying it in is heavier than the device. I mean, yeah. The ThinkPad's like that, too. It's, you know, near bezel-less now. And so what they've done is shrunk the body down.
And they're plasticky, though. They're not metal.
It's carbon fiber. That's the thing. You know, this is a matter of preference. Like, the Microsoft devices are magnesium, which is not metal. The keyboard on those devices is plastic. But you know what? The Surface Pro, the Surface Book is quite possibly the best typing experience I've ever had on a laptop, and it's a plastic keyboard. The Surface Pro type cover keyboard is also very, very good. The carbon fiber material that, you know, ThinkPad uses, I like it a lot, and I really like the thin weight. I'm sorry, the low weight that comes with that, and that's the benefit to that. The HP uses metals like aluminum, and there's a it also has kind of a premium kind of feel to it, but they can be a little heavier, right? And those materials can be a little thicker. HP's devices are not typically heavy or thick, but per se, but you know, you do have a little bit of a trade off there. And you also have that kind of smudge effect that can occur on metals, fingerprints and whatnot. You know, like Dell uses plastics. I mean, something like an XPS 13 or an XPS 15, which are kind of high-end devices.
Yeah.
To me, the materials they use on the keyboard, on the deck, on the device itself are not particularly high quality. I mean, they don't seem premium to me. So it's really a matter of preference. I think if you're looking at Surface or ThinkPad or the HP stuff, the you know, because HP has a couple of different lines of kind of high-end computers. They all use different materials. It's just kind of a matter of preference.
Yeah. Now, I absolutely love the ThinkPad line. I mean, I've always loved ThinkPads. And
me too.
It's amazing how classic they are. You know, when you talk about it, it's funny to think about the computers as if like, you know, oh, no, that's a classic. But the ThinkPad really, they've kind of stuck. They've been very loyal to their overall design over the last, yeah, I don't know, 20 years, where you could see the evolution of their product line, which I don't think other than Apple, really, which, and for Apple, it's a newer thing, right?
I've always thought of them as the standard, you know.
Yeah.
They historically have had the best typing experience. I'd say these days it's a little more of a toss-up, but they're right up there. I mean, they're still very, very good. They're definitely in the elite top, you know, three or four.
I mean, their website is a little bit of a Turkish bazaar when it comes to purchasing a product, but...
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's actually terrible.
Yeah, it really is terrible.
I have no idea what's what. You know, they have like 5,000 lines. The T470, the T570,
I know.
The P51S.
They've always been terrible about this. You know, I'm going to get the model wrong, but if you imagine before they had the X series, T stands for thin and light. It was kind of like we have laptops, but then we have these thinner laptops, and it was like the T was the thin line, and it wasn't particularly thin. I mean,
and what is E, like the economy line?
Yeah, but they added something to T where you could get like a T400 or a T420, but then you could also get a T400S.
The S, yeah.
And it's like, well, what does the S stand for? And the answer is slim. Like, guys, seriously, like,
well, then they have the P,
you
got to
just pick one of the two and just go with it. Like, yeah.
The P line, it's
P is probably workstation or yeah.
Performance.
Yeah.
Performance.
Yep. Yeah. So the X lineup is the new kind of thin and light, you know, it's not really that new, but it's the kind of where that is now.
I was curious about your overall experience with it. Cause
it's great. It's just the keyboard is the one little goofiness. It doesn't have touch.
Yeah. And, one last topic. I want to talk about you wrote a nice detailed post about why Google has not expanded Android to many of their Chromebooks. Rot.com. You wrote a couple days ago.
You know, last year at Google I.O., they announced that they were bringing Android apps to Chromebooks. And I thought, man, this is a serious competitive threat to Windows. And there's a goofy thing that happens with tech enthusiasts. You know, a lot of the people who read my stuff are really into Microsoft and into Microsoft stuff. And I feel like sometimes they get a little blinded to what's going on in the outside world. Like they'll just hate Apple because they're Apple. They'll hate Google because they're Google. They think things about Chromebook like that are kind of out of date. You know, that these things are too limited. It's just a web browser. You know, you always need more than that. And it's like, guys, you know, there's a problem here because –
yeah,
there's the reality on one side, and then there's your opinion over here. And the truth is, yeah, for me personally, I agree with you. Like, a Chromebook is too limited for me. But as it turns out, you know, they have really high satisfaction levels. They're super popular in education, especially in the United States. Teachers love them. Educators of all kinds love them. School systems love them. The students who use them love them.
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, we have to get over that hump. But the thing is, once you add like this mobile app platform to it, that kind of addresses the few remaining legitimate complaints that you can make about Chromebook. So this is a serious threat to Windows. At the time, they said this was going to happen by the end of 2016. And there was a lot of, you know, Wired.
I actually bought a Chromebook for my brother for his birthday because of the announcement with the product line. So I went down the list of products. They said Q4, and I was in Q4. I'm like, oh, it'll be any day, so let me buy it now. And I bought it, and he has yet to...
Still, yeah. No, I know. It, and by the end of the year, there were, I think, only three devices that were supported in beta, you know. And these days, it's there might be seven, but it's really not that much. And they've pushed it back and pushed it back and pushed it back. There was going to be a new generation of Chromebooks that were coming out in the fall that never happened. Wired wrote a huge thing about it, about how it was going to happen. It was going to change the world. And it just silently never happened. And then the year rolled around. And then Samsung announced those the Chromebook Plus and Pro. And coincidental to that, the marketing machine cranked up again. And it's like, here comes this new generation of Chromebooks. And these new generation Chromebooks are going to have touchscreens, obviously.
Yeah.
Convertible form factors in many cases. And pen support out of the box. And would come with Android support. So here it is. What is it? May? It's almost June. Next week is June. It still hasn't happened, you know. And the weird thing about Google I/O this year, 1 year after they announced it, is they mentioned Chromebook in their keynote one time, if I'm not mistaken, in passing. Made it seem like this transition had already occurred, which I found to be disingenuous. And so I went and looked through their session list because I wanted to see I knew they must have talked about this stuff. And I found a session that was aimed at developers saying, here are all the things you should do to make your Android apps work properly in Chromebook. But the guy described some of the problems Google had and basically confirmed what I've been saying for the past several months, which is Google did think they were going to get this done. But then in the process of seeing what that really looked like, they ran into all kinds of problems. And so what they have to do is try to solve some of those problems at the OS level. So if you imagine like a poorly written Android app, might assume that it's always going to be full screen, perfectly legitimate a year or two ago, and would assume that it's always going to run in portrait mode, like Instagram does this. You know, if you run that app on a Chromebook, it stretches out to fill the screen. It's terrible. Like this is not a good experience. And so, Google can short circuit some behavior by adding window controls that let you resize the thing down to something smaller.
So they half-assed it, and then they realize, oh crap, this doesn't work right.
Well, I don't know that I wouldn't say it that way. I mean, I think they just underestimated the amount of work it was going to take. I'm sure that what they did was they looked at the top X number of apps and they said, how does it work? And it's like, okay, it's going to work. And they know they can work with those developers and it makes sense. Like Microsoft, maybe a year ago said, we are going to tailor the Android versions of Office apps so that they work properly on Chromebooks. So I don't know if they've already done this work. I suspect they have, but those apps should behave well on a Chromebook. Like they'll support full screen, they'll support windowed. You can resize them however you want. They work with the native file picker, you know, whatever all the stuff is you have to do. So, I you know, this is one of those things. Like I don't look at this as something like maybe I want to do per se. I mean, I want to test it. In fact, I bought an Acer Chromebook last year, anticipating I will be able to run this thing. By the way, it's a year later. I still cannot run Android apps on that Acer.
Well, and, you know, it's funny. If you go to their website, they have the list of products. Chrome OS that supports Android apps. Before, it used to say a time frame. Now it just says planned.
Yeah.
So across the board, just the word plan written for almost every single Chromebook.
I have a theory about that. I think they're going to change it again. And I think what's going to happen is if your Chromebook supports touch, you're in. Obviously, if it's a convertible device, you're in. There aren't that many of those, but there's a handful. The devices that don't have touch, I'm not saying all of them aren't going to get it, but it wouldn't surprise me if most of them didn't get it. At some point, they're just going to have to say, guys, look, it's a mobile app platform. It works best or relies on touch. The only way we can guarantee a good experience is if you have these basic features. You know, sorry. So we'll see. I mean, they haven't done that, but I that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's been a very big disappointment for many. I know that.
It's crazy.
I was just curious because I saw the post and I was just talking to someone about this and they thought, you know, it was just a casual conversation about Chromebooks. Yeah. He goes, yeah, but you could run Android apps on them. I'm like, no, not all of them. I mean, like a couple of them. There's probably like six or seven of them that you probably can. And he's like, I had no idea. I thought you could run it.
Even the fact that it supports it doesn't mean everything's going to work.
That's the other thing,
You can look this up right now. You can read a review of the Samsung devices. You know, there are serious problems just getting those apps to run reliably. And then if you have the Intel version, to run with any kind of performance, like those things really bogged down because they were written for ARM.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It will happen. It's going to happen.
Here's a thing. Who gets a grip on this? Is it going to be the Microsoft store where their apps work? They have more apps, or is it going to be Google that launches Android apps on all Chromebooks?
Oh, jeez. I think the app story on Chromebook is going to be better than it is on Windows 10S, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. Yeah.
Boy, that's
those are two real shit buckets to kind of compare. But I mean, you know, but I think the Android ones, Chromebook one will be better. Yeah.
You could always use the Mac App Store. Always use that.
Also not great.
No, let me see what's in the Mac App Store right now. Let's go Nothing. Featured. Let's go featured. Things 3. It's always
I will take your Mac tools. App Store and I will raise it one Windows Store because this is the crappiest selection of apps that has ever existed.
Have you ever heard of Things 3?
Mm-mm.
The award-winning application. This is the number one best-selling application in the Mac App Store. Meet the all-new Things 3, a complete rethinking of the original award-winning Task Manager. With a perfect balance between simplicity and power. So it's an organizer. $40.
Three Task Manager. So it's not like a
app
Task Manager. It's a to-do list. Yeah.
The number two app, it's 99 cents. It's called Magnet. Left, you know, center, right on your screen support. So I guess what you do is you click the applications, so it'll click, like it'll do multi view.
Right.
So that's the number two. Number three, Thor Antivirus.
Wow.
Logic Pro X, number four. Final Cut, number five. The Sims, number six. Affinity Photo. Now, this is actually an interesting application. It's a Photoshop replacement.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it's Affinity Photo, I think you can just download that from the web, can't you?
That's, you can, but it's not free. $50.
Yeah. No, I know that. But I mean, it's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can get that for Windows, if I'm not mistaken.
Disk Doctor is clean your drive and free up space, $2.99. Mm-hmm. Notability, let's see what this is. Create memorable notes. Okay.
Okay.
Well, by the way, Doctor.
The Mac market for apps is kind of strange, right? There's a lot of text editors for the Mac.
A lot of text editors. You know what the number two number one and number two free app, the top free apps in the store, GarageBand and Microsoft Remote Desktop.
Pretty much everything you need to know about the Mac market right there.
Yeah.
Mac market.
Yeah. Interesting.
We all think we're creative and actually we need to get work done.
Yeah. So we got a remote in.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. That was fun. I'm glad you're back. Are you back next week?
I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Are you gallivanting?
No, I should be home unless something changes for at least a couple of more weeks.
Very, very fun. Actually, I'm going to tell you something. I do have a tool on the Mac App Store that I bought that was very useful. It's called Flume. F-L-U-M-E. Flume. And it allows you to manage multiple Instagram accounts on a desktop. And I have to tell you, it's very useful if you have multiple properties that you have to manage.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
Yeah, very, very useful. I just bought it for anybody.
I was just looking for markdown editors for Windows, and for every one that came up that was any good on Windows, I found at least 21 on the Mac. Like, there are so many markdown editors on the Mac. Yeah, it's just... Mac's always kind of been like that. You know, back in the day, there was like BB Edit, and I know it's still around, but I mean, it's... I don't know what it is. This is like just the thing with on the Mac, text editors.
A lot of they're into it. A lot of publishing tools too.
Yeah,
a lot of publishing tools. All right, all things Paul. Go to Paul Thurrott. No, that's not your website. Go to Thurrott.com. Don't go to Paul Thurrott.
Don't do that.
Don't go to Paul Thurrott.
Go
to Thurrott.com. You can go check it out. Sign up for Thurrott Premium. Get access to all these great blogs at great. What, they're not blogs. They're what do you call them?
Blogs is fine. I think we've dropped a pretense.
What do you call it?
I think of it as more of an online journal.
Paul's thoughts.
I need some Mac software so I can do journaling.
You know what? Can you download Things 3 for $39.99.
Yeah, I'll keep track of my tasks.
Or the number, what is the number one game? Let's find out what the number one game in the Mac App Store is. What do you think it is?
Well, it's going to be like an old game, probably.
You think so?
Like some, okay, let's find out.
Before we wrap this up. Best-selling, let's go, the number one, it's Sims 2, the Super Collection.
Sure.
That's the number one game, and then the number two game would be
Call of Duty 2.
Life is Strange. What is this?
Oh, boy.
Before you buy, expand the subscription to find out if your system meets the requirements. Follow the story of Max Clawfield, a photography senior who discovered she could rewind time. You know what? I want to rewind time to the time that I bought
this. Free games or paid games?
This is a paid game. $4.99.
I wonder if they
82 ratings. So at least 82 people bought this game.
Most popular game in the Windows Store is Candy Crush Soda Sega, which you've at least heard of. But then the next one is like Hidden City Mystery of Shadows, which no one has heard of.
Call of Duty 4. Top rated game.
Yeah. See, that won't be in here because we don't have a store version of that app.
Yeah, we do, apparently.
Yeah.
Go to Therat.com. Go sign up for a premium service. A lot of great stuff. And you do a daily podcast with Brad on there. Mm-hmm. And a lot more stuff. Paul, you're here next week, correct?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. And do you have a meeting to run off to or no?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay, good. That is why I did a bonus show before. Wonderful. All right, guys. We'll see you all next time. Take care.